Welcome to the Claim Hunters. I am Chris Tidball, an executive claim consultant with Subro IQ, where we routinely find our clients significant amounts of trapped cash. On our show, we will explore the epidemic of trapped cash across not only the insurance industry, but the global business landscape. Our guests bring a unique perspective on challenges faced by businesses that impact their bottom line. We believe that everyone has a great story to tell, and this is the forum to tell it. We hope you enjoy today's episode and stick around to learn more about how you can be a guest in 20 minutes or less. Welcome to the Claim Hunters. I'm here with Larry Beamer, who is a consultant with Suite 200. Welcome, Larry.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I retired in July, but prior to that, I spent 45 years in the insurance industry in claims.
Okay.
Started out way back in the dinosaur age with the Aetna, what was called the Big Aetna at the time, Aetna Casualty and Surety, and got my training there, and then moved from there on to a short stint with CNA, and then home insurance, rest in peace, they're no longer in business, and moved on from there to a TPA called REM, and then when home ceased to be alive, and then went to Fireman's Fund. I was claim director there, and then got a kind of a large promotion and became a vice president at QBE Insurance.
Okay.
And then I ran the liability department at QBE Insurance. We had about 100 people, and that was quite a big job. From there, moved on to a small company called IAT in Raleigh, North Carolina. And then got a call one day from Tokio Marine HCC, and they needed somebody to start a claim department, casualty claim department. And so I went there and for 4 years built a claim department there. Everything had been handled by a TPA prior to that. So we took in all the claims and established a small claim department, 20 people or so, 25 people, and set up everything, administrative and technical and everything. They didn't have really anything set up. So luckily my background was sufficient to know what to do.
Yeah.
It was still a tough job, but we got it done. And I just got to a point where I said, 45 years is enough. And so, I said, okay, here we go. Play some golf.
So you've been around, you've seen
a lot of things,
crazy claims over the years.
Yes.
You've probably seen, the evolution of claims. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, I started, around 1990, right? And claims was a different world. My son's a claims adjuster now for a large carrier. And vastly different.
Oh,
what he does compared to what I did. I mean, we spent our days in the field driving our company vehicles around.
I did too.
Investigating. Yeah. And we dug in,
Oh, yeah.
Looked, turned.
I think that's a big issue now. I mean,
you've
got Google Maps and you got all that stuff, but there's nothing like going out to 10 slip and fall accident scenes.
Right.
Yeah, diagramming it, photographing it, and then looking at all the issues, because then when you become a manager and somebody says, oh, it's just kind of a slip and fall, you already in your mind know what you're kind of looking for.
Oh, yeah. Well, the vision, it's the visual, right? I mean, people are visual people, visual to begin with, but it's like you'll go to someplace and, I mean, there are times where you're like, oh, this is really bad.
Yeah.
Or there'll be times where you're like, this didn't happen.
Right. And if you don't have that experience, you don't know.
Exactly.
People don't know. I mean, I remember walking into Fireman's Fund and I oversaw all the entertainment claims worldwide. And then I had all of the construction defect adjusters.
Okay.
And I actually even had at one time, a unit of liability adjusters. And so I asked all the liability adjusters, how many of you gone out to it and investigated an accident scene? And none of them had done it. None had done it. And so that's what we started doing. We started taking them into the building, going through staircases, slip and falls. We went out into the parking lot, showed them how to investigate, what to look for.
Yeah.
So even if a independent was sending in information to us, they at least knew what questions to ask.
Right.
To the independent. Hey, did you look at this? Did you do that? Did you, whatever.
Yeah.
So, it was kind of, It was, I remember when I asked that question, I thought everybody would say yes, and nobody did. And I was kind of shocked. I thought, wow, how do you know what to do or what even to look for? And how do you know if somebody's lying? You know? Yeah.
I mean, a huge part of the claims severity rise. I mean, obviously there's an inflationary issues, but I think a huge part of it is the lack of really solid investigations these days. I mean, there's only so much you can do. If you get 12 claims in a day,
Right.
I mean, you're only allowed to work 8 hours a day in many states. So you're spending 40 minutes
Yeah.
on a claim. I mean, how are you really
How are you doing
doing?
it? And I kind of made up something after seeing all this, you know, over time, and kind of a saying that, you know, the amount and quality of your investigation dictates the amount of discovery in a lawsuit.
Oh, absolutely. You're going to pay one way or the other.
Yeah, right.
And the challenge with that is a proactive upfront investigation is going to be far more effective than paying an attorney a few hundred
To
dollars an
do.
hour
And
to go do it 9 months later.
let me just say, you know, just like the carriers or the insurance industry trying to find quality claim people these days, which is tough. Look, the defense attorneys are doing the same thing. So, you know, you take a poor quality investigation from the adjuster because they don't have time or don't know how to do it, and you give it to an associate who doesn't know how to take a depo and ask the right questions. That's a recipe for a lot more money going out the door.
It is.
And you know, I hate to say it, I hate to be cynical, but you know, a lot more plaintiffs are lying today. People lie a lot more today.
Well,
They just do.
there's a financial incentive.
Yeah, that's
I
it.
mean, if you
That's
get
it.
rear-ended by the Budweiser truck,
That's right.
there's a huge financial incentive to say I got a TBI.
I mean, a little story. I was driving down the street. I had a car, and you know, I had the automatic mirrors, and it was my mirror on the left was kind of broken, so it was in. And I had a guy kind of stopping in front of me pretty fast, and so I needed to change lane. I looked at the mirror and didn't see anybody, but the mirror wasn't all the way open, of course, right? I moved over, sideswiped a woman.
Oh, no.
She's coming up, right? Nobody got hurt, but you know, I went over there, and the cop police came, and what happened? I go, you know, I didn't see her, and I pulled into her. And the police officer goes, "Are you sure that you want that to be your statement?" And I'm like, "You
That's what
telling you
happened.
want me to lie?" She said, "No, and most people just wouldn't do that. They wouldn't say that." And I go, "Well, that's what happened. That's the truth." And so then the adjuster got on the phone. He said, "Well, what happened?" I go, "Well, it's the sideswipe." "Oh, so you're both at fault." I go, "No, I didn't see her, and I pulled in the lane." "What? You realize if you say that, you're going to be liable for this claim?" "Yeah, I am." I go, "You want me to lie?" Well, no, but you understand." And I go, "I understand. It was my fault."
I'm at
And
fault.
nobody, they couldn't, you know, it was like, "Wait, we expect you to lie here. Don't tell the truth so you get out from underneath the claim."
Well, and I mean, there's all these financial incentives to
Right,
not,
right.
there's the financial incentive on your part to not tell the truth because your rates are going to go up
Rates are going to
now.
go up. Right,
And there's a
right.
financial incentive, for someone to say, oh, yeah, even though my back's hurt for the last 20 years,
Right.
well, it never hurt until today.
Yeah.
It's a challenge. I think that, to your point, I think it's more common today than it was
Yeah, it is.
years ago because there's really no repercussions.
And if you, but the other thing that's interesting about that, which I don't think a lot of young attorneys realize, is most of the plaintiff attorneys out there don't investigate their case either. They don't know. They're just going to throw out a bunch of nonsense, see if it sticks. And you know, when you know,
Yeah, put
another
together
quote,
the
kind
email.
of a quote, you know, another thing that I always love is, you know, there was a thing on John Adams, and one of the things John Adams said was, you know, facts are stubborn things. And you know, when you have facts because you investigated and you go back to that plaintiff attorney and say, "What are you talking about? Here's what happened and here's why I know this," and blah, blah, blah. And they don't know. They don't know. And then they're on their heels because they know you know what really happened in the case. And that scares them because they don't want to try those kind of cases.
No,
They
th those
know their
cases go
client's
away.
lying. Yeah. And they do go away. They go away a lot faster.
And that's the whole thing about we do a lot of auditing of claim
Right.
files, and what we tend to see are the good settlements, be it across the board, be it property damage or injury. I mean, they're going away on well investigated
Right.
files. And
Exactly.
but th that's not the majority of files.
No.
There's an incredible lack of consistency. An exercise that we do, when I teach sessions, you give 100 adjusters the exact same claim,
Scenario. Yeah.
and it get, tell me liability damages,
Right.
and 100% of the time we're going to be all over the board.
Yeah.
No two are going to give you the same answer, not even close answers sometimes. And some of the answers are like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
It's a huge challenge.
No, it's yeah, I've done that before, teaching negotiation, like an
Right.
anchoring skills, and you give that example of, one group gets, a demand of $1 million
Right.
and another group gets a demand of $4 million, but same facts.
Right.
Same facts, same monetary damages, so on.
Yep.
And then, you have the one group send in what the cases were.
Yep.
And they all send it in, and you get an average of, $3 million. And then you get the $4 million one, and now it's $12 million.
Exactly.
And it just shows how anchoring makes a difference, and that the concept of an adjuster or a defense attorney making an offer first
Right.
is still foreign to a lot of people in the insurance industry. It's really foolish because from a negotiation standpoint, that's the anchoring point.
Oh, yeah.
And now plaintiff attorney may not like it, but he's supposed to take it to his client,
Gotta take it. I mean,
and so if they take it and the client's now their expectation is not way up here, what
right.
their attorneys tell, well, we'll get more than that, but it's now brought down a lot.
Yep.
Like the attorneys, all these attorneys, well, we're going to get millions. Well,
Right.
no, you're not.
And that first offer is
And that
500
first off,
bucks,
that's right. That first, I mean, it's got to be an offer that makes sense too,
reasonable
reasonable,
for the circumstances,
for the
right? So
circumstances.
if you have a low impact soft
Right,
tissue case
right,
and you're demanding
right.
$1 million, my $500 offer is actually reasonable given those circumstances.
But I see that mistake too, though. Like you might have $1 million case and somebody will offer $100,000.
Right.
That's just not reasonable.
Right.
In that scenario, I would say, okay, offer 500,000.
Right.
Now that's a considerable offer. Is it going to settle the case? No, but at least from an anchoring offer,
Right.
you've got something reasonable out there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Yeah. So tell me, you do some work with Suite 200,
Right.
a consulting firm,
Right.
and you deal with a lot of carriers
Yeah.
and you see a lot of things. So tell me a little bit about Suite 200 and what's your role? What do you do there?
Well, I just retired in July, so I'm kind of getting started. But one of the things that I do with a friend of mine, he just retired out of Marriott, Vic Marmo, is that and he and I are both Lifetime Achievement Award winners here.
Great. Congratulations.
We got together and we put together number of years ago, a law firm asked us to put together something about client relations and risk transfer
Okay.
for their young lawyers. So we did that, and then we went on our merry way and then retired. And he said, hey, there's a lot of law firms, especially with all the new associate, could really use this.
Right.
So we tweaked it and worked on our PowerPoint. So we have about a 3-hour PowerPoint. We do an hour and a half session, each,
Okay.
it with a break, and we go out and teach law firms about what insurance carriers need. We teach them about how to communicate, how to market,
Okay.
how carriers reserve, how carriers evaluate, how they need to report to those
Right.
carriers. We teach them risk transfer because that's missed so much, and about the various avenues of risk transfer, like additional insured endorsements and contractual liability coverage. And so we teach them all of that to help them get to be, a value to their clients,
Right.
right? And so we've done 3 of those now. They've been
That's
very
great. Yeah.
successful, and we've had firms say, hey, we've had billing issues with our associates. Can you help us with that? Yeah,
Right.
sure. Okay, tell us, give us an idea what some of those are. And they do. And then, we go in and talk to the associate and say, look, you're not going to get paid for this, and here's why.
Right.
You know, and I know your partner told you that, and you may not have listened, but we're the insurance guys, and we're telling you,
right,
you're not going to get paid for this, and here's why. Now, you know, if you put in something that says, talk to an adjuster, blah, 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 that you're not going to get paid for that. If you say, talk to Larry Beamer,
yeah,
and on this date, and here's what we talked about, you're going to get paid for that. Because
yeah,
my name's on there, you know. These are things you got to do. Simple things, but associates just make these mistakes because,
right,
you know, they don't know. And so we've been doing that, and we're hoping, you know, here to hear this conference to get some more people to do that. In fact, we're looking, we do have some more people who want to do that. And then I'm working with a TPA and helping them to teaching them about risk transfer. I have a whole, okay, whole PowerPoint working on that. And I have some other things in line where I've got another company. We haven't started yet, but they have a large book of construction defect cases. And I've done those since 1980.
Yeah.
And they want me to audit those and provide them with a management report on strengths and weaknesses so that they can focus on, or to have an idea,
right,
where to focus their claim handling, what they need to do. I've got another TPA that's kind of starting up and needs help operationally. And of course,
right,
I've done that. So that hasn't started yet, but that's coming up. And so I'll start helping them to, you know,
yeah,
establish their claim department, what they need to do, how to get their procedures and policies set up, so that they've got good best practices, et cetera, et
yeah,
cetera.
So it sounds like you're not really retired. You're doing, you know, what you love, though, you know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
I mean, this is the fun stuff.
Yeah, so if someone wants to learn about Suite 200, where do they go? Is there a website?
Or? There's a website out there. Taylor Smith, who you
yep,
know, is the guy. And Taylor and I go back almost the beginning of CLM, so close,
okay,
to 20 years. And I've known his,
right,
wife, Susan, forever. So, you know, we talk all the time, and he's a great resource, you know, on the litigation,
right,
side.
He's, oh, yeah,
done so much research, so he's great. And, so that you go to the website, and, there's not just myself, Vic Marmo, who I talked about, there.
Sure.
There's a number of other people who have a tremendous amount of experience who are in Suite 200 Solutions.
No, that's great. So, Larry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
And if anyone would like to apply to be a guest on our show, go to subroiq.com and hit the podcast button.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for joining the Claim Hunters. We hope you enjoyed our show. If you would like to share your story, head on over to subroiq.com and click the YouTube button.